Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we'll talk about how anonymous are cryptocurrencies really and how you can buy or sell cryptocurrencies by being fully anonymous. So let's jump right into this news story. It says here, how anonymous is the purchase of crypto regulations, practice, and risks. So the article kind of starts with these two statements by, from one side, Bill Gates, who is saying the main feature of cryptocurrencies is their anonymity. I don't think this is a good thing. The government's ability to find money laundering and tax evasion and terrorist funding is a good thing. Then we have Edward Snowden. He is saying Bitcoin is great, but if it's not private, it's not safe. So a bunch of things here. On one side, you have cryptocurrencies by definition in their name have something to do with cryptography. Now, a lot of people automatically assume that all cryptocurrencies are anonymous. And because, for example, if you create a wallet, a Bitcoin wallet, that it is not linked to you in any way and that people cannot find it out who you are, etc. Now, this is actually not true. So if you are, let's say you're using your Bitcoin to trade, to purchase something in an e-commerce store, etc. Now, if this e-commerce store starts collecting cookies, and most of them do for marketing purposes, etc., this data will get saved with both, for example, the advertiser as well as the e-commerce company. Meaning that if someone is sophisticated enough, and it doesn't take a lot actually to trace back those cookies, they can find out who you are and what kind of purchases you've made. Now, this is not really a problem. I mean, anonymity is not needed by everyone, and I don't think it's a necessity. However, I think what is not good is if people are actually thinking that you can be anonymous and purchase cryptocurrencies and use cryptocurrencies in an anonymous way, but still don't know the implications of your purchases. So let's say, very simple example, you are supporting a political party, you are donating cryptocurrencies, but for example, this doesn't comply with your employer. Now your employer hears about that donation to the political party, you get thrown out of the job, etc. Who is to blame? These are exactly the cases, and I'm not even talking about the illegal trades you would like to do because you want to purchase drugs or anything like this. This is another story. I think it's more scary that people don't really realize that anonymity is not given by certain coins. And the reasons why, how the governments are trying to battle this whole anonymity thing is different. So, first of all, there are regulations currently either in place or being discussed in terms of knowing the customer and knowing, like, being able to identify certain people when purchasing cryptocurrencies. Now, in the United States, there is this anti-money laundering law, as well as your KYC laws, the Know Your Customer regulations. And it says here, the ALA law and the KYC regulations are intended to strengthen the measures to prevent, detect, prosecute money laundering and the financing of terrorism, and require the subjected entities to establish written customer identification programs, which have different aims, such as identifying, getting the information from the customers, etc., etc., and verifying them. Now, most cryptocurrency exchanges actually have these kind of already inside. So, for example, if you're setting up a Coinbase account, you have to identify and verify your account using, I think, an invoice or a card of identity, like a passport or something like this. In the United States, it's like this. In the EU, so in the European Union, in the EU, exchange platforms have to comply with the international standards issued by the Financial Action Task Force, the FATF, then complemented by national rules. Again, it says here that these institutions should be required to undertake customer due diligence measures when establishing business relations, which technically a trade, you could say, carrying out occasional transactions above the applicable designated threshold, which is 15,000 both US dollars and euros, And there is suspicion of money laundering or terrorist financing. The financial institution has doubt about the veracity or adequacy of previously obtained custom identification data. Very similar in Asia as well. And at the beginning of the year, in Asia, there was this huge deal about, for example, in South Korea, as well as Japan, kind of doing these anti-money laundering law, as well as the KYC laws. Previously, for example, in South Korea, you didn't have to kind of identify your person, you didn't have to, you were able to trade cryptocurrencies fully anonymous. And obviously, for states, this is kind of a risk. Imagine or think of the perspective of the state. The state needs to know or needs to have some kind of control over parties or organizations or people doing illegal things. One of these ways in order to take control or have control over these parties is basically by having these anti-money laundering laws, by having those KYC laws, etc., etc. Now, it is still possible to trade anonymously, and I think it's important to know if you really want to stay completely anonymous. I think it's your right, you should be able to do this. However, be aware that if you're trading Bitcoin and other coins that don't have privacy kind of as a feature, that you are kind of exposing yourself, and just be aware of that. I think that's important to know. There are two examples here mentioned in the article. One is peer-to-peer trading platforms that allow users to trade Bitcoins for traditionally currencies through person-to-person trades. So you have, for example, a site like Local Bitcoins. I think it's localbitcoins.com. And with Local Bitcoins, you can basically say, I want to buy one Bitcoin for price X. And then at the other side, somebody's saying, I want to sell one Bitcoin for price X. And then this platform brings you together and you're able to exchange those Bitcoins completely anonymously. You don't know who this person is. You don't know who the buyer or the seller is. So this is, for example, one way how you can do kind of exchanges. Another way is actually to have, there is a second way. There are also these decentralized exchanges built into Bitcoin wallets that help to arrange local trades between buyers and sellers. However, I think the liquidity on those decentralized exchanges are still very low, so it's not really worth looking into, in my opinion, yet. This will in the future definitely become more interesting, but for now, not really. There is, however, also, for example, Bitcoin ATMs. So you can trade your money for Bitcoin at a Bitcoin ATM, and you will normally receive a paper wallet where these Bitcoins are stored. So let's say you go to an ATM, you put in 100 US dollars, and you get out a paper wallet which says under this address you can access this money. It is fairly anonymous, so you're not technically, the Bitcoin ATM doesn't know who you are, so anyone could put those 100 US dollars inside. So this is one way. Now, another way is to, for example, use different cryptocurrencies. So we have two or three that are both in the top 100 coin in terms of coin market, in terms of market capitalization. There are like these two big ones or three big ones. One of them is Monero. They are using something called ring signatures that makes, for example, trading cryptocurrencies fairly anonymous, if not very anonymous. Then we have something called Zcash. They are using, I think it's called ZK Snarks, which is in the privacy and encryption area, one of the most secure things you could do. This is another way to kind of hide the fact who is trading. There's also Dash. How Dash exactly does it, we'll look at in a different episode. But there's also PIVX and all of these like privacy-focused cryptocurrencies. So if you want to trade privately and anonymous, you should use these different cryptocurrencies. So be aware that the typical cryptocurrencies are not anonymous when you're doing trades, both buying and selling. That being said, normally when you use those big cryptocurrency exchanges, you will have to comply with their laws anyway. You will have to identify yourself, you have to verify yourself, and that's not really a bad thing. if the states are not using this information for anything else. I think it's fine that they do it, that they do this, and it's kind of expectable as well. I mean, the states kind of are scared of cryptocurrencies and are scared of losing some kind of control, so it's better to at the beginning be stricter and then with time get more relaxed about these laws. But for now, that's the situation we're in. I just wanted to kind of talk about this topic because I think it's fairly important. But yeah, right now we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast. I will see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.